Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism, to end neocolonialism, to end racism, to end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means
good afternoon. Air date of this episode here is February 9th, 2019. This is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced coming to you from Olympia, Washington today. Our show got skewed last Tuesday, and we were talking about the same material that we're going to be speaking about tonight, the original that was set for last Tuesday. All right, however, moving it forward right now, Black History and the Hypocrisy of Current Politics in the United States. Tonight, we're discussing the concept of Black history and its interaction with mainstream U.S. politics. Currently, the 2020 election candidates are trying to launch their campaigns and have launched their campaigns, the U.S. senators from California and New Jersey. And then also to the senator from Massachusetts has announced she's running as well, too. Now, could they truly make a difference? And also, too, we're going to go into the concepts of cognitive dissonance and the post-traumatic slave syndrome that misleads so many of our people. They do this here every election, and particularly this one, with the latest rash of events that has been happening in the last few days. So we're asking our listeners, please call us in here with your comments, questions, and concerns. And please self-mute yourself until you go live on the air at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as we know, Cory Booker, the United States Senator from New Jersey, has started his campaign in Iowa. Also, too, as we know, a couple of weeks ago, the United States Senator from California, Kamala Harris, who was also too the Attorney General of California before she was elected the United States Senator from California in 2016. And recently, what I saw on mainstream media yesterday and the day before is this circus and hypocrisy that you got going on with this romper room Disneyland mental institution, which is just redundant in regard to these hearings, in regard to this regime that you currently have that is administering the United States. In addition to of the redundancy and like I said, semi-bizarre situation that's coming out of the state of Virginia, the governor there, you know, the blackface situation there, then also to the lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, being accused of sexual assault right here, and they call it for his impeachment within less than 3 days after he's just accused of it, you know, at the state level. That's very interesting of how fast the impeachment process works in the state of Virginia against a governor. And then, of course, you got at the federal level the chief executive who talks about grabbing women in a certain manner and his redundancy, and he's under a major investigation and what have you, and no one is mentioning the word impeachment or starting the process at the federal level. But however, I see the one and only, one of our featured commentators there, the one and only Mr. Isaiah. I'm having him invite him in. How you doing, Brother Isaiah? How's life treating you this evening?
I'm good, man. I'm just hanging in there, you know. I'm just living one day at a time. How you doing, brother?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's interesting, man. I'm up here getting snowed on here in the Pacific Northwest, man, but I should be heading back south. Yeah, for
right.
The next couple of days and whatnot. But anyway, I'm just want to just talk about is that here you got this business going on, you know, with this guy Whitaker, man, you know, sitting up there
on
the committee or whatever, the Judiciary Committee there in Washington, D.C. Yesterday. And he's telling
right.
the chairman and the people and what have you that their 5 minutes is up, that he could have, yeah, he has a problem answering direct questions and whatnot and manipulating using the time that he had to speak or each one of these is this. Or each the time limit that each one of the congressional members had to ask him. And so basically it was just a bunch of double speak where he was sitting there, you know, for 6 hours. And
yeah.
What I'm gathering is, and as we're doing research on it, as these stories unfold, particularly that one right there, then also to, of course, what's happening there near you in the state of Virginia with a Justin Fairfax. But once again, looking at these black politicians, once again, and those of you in the Congressional Black Caucus, you're more than welcome to give me a call here at 646-564-9630 and press
right.
1.
Don't be scared to share your
so much. Yes, sir. And they're spending
right.
so much time. Yeah, and they're spending so much time, you know, worrying about this as opposed to the situation, what's affecting us as a people and
right.
what happened is because, like, they're talking about being sympathetic to all these other groups except for black males.
Right.
You see what
right.
I mean?
And
then the ones,
males,
or which few of them are left,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and the ones that you have there and positions, whatnot, you know, got a lot of notoriety and what have you, you know, they're trying to tear them down as well, too. Now, dealing
yep.
with the cognitive dissonance with this, we have to go and look at the fact that of the post-traumatic slave syndrome, you know, as the elders told us, you know, years ago, you know, false, we sick, you know, ass scratching, yasa bossing, you know, that type of stuff right,
right
there.
Too many of them.
But however, yeah, but however, I do recognize that a lot could be done at the state level and at the local levels of when it comes, you know, to the political machinations, you know, in U.S. politics. Okay, but also, too, Now, getting with the United States Senator from California, Kamala Harris, who was the Attorney General, this is also, too, what I want to comment a little bit on, and we'd like to get some feedback from our listeners on this. There was an initiative in California that had something to do with regulating social media, dealing with your personal information, and if the data is breached, it would allow class action lawsuits and what have you. And from what I understand is that they did acquire enough signatures to be placed on the ballot, but it was not placed on the ballot, you know, as per the Attorney General's office. From what I understand there, if I got my California administrative code right and how they do things there when it comes to the election laws with referendums and what have you. So I found that there, you know, to be very interesting. We'd like to get some feedback on that. In addition to, I want to give a special shout out there to a brother by the name of Jesse, who's running for office in the city of Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And what a major concern that he has going on and is dealing with the ban of people camping along public ways, covering themselves, protecting themselves from an element there. And the winters get mighty, mighty cold right there. And I think I see him right here, and I'm going to bring him in right there. Is that there to you, Jesse, there out of the 720 there out of Denver, Colorado, last 40907?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, thank you, sir, so very, very much, you know, for calling in and giving us a call. Okay, as you saw by the description of today's show and what have you, you know, we're discussing, you know, the concepts of black history in regard. I want to focus on the political situation going on since, you know, that we're in these current political times, you know, at the national level and at quite a few state levels as well, too, in regard to what's happening there in Virginia that's been happening in the last few days. As well, too, and we're seeing a lot of the redundancy and a lot of the hypocrisy on that. But also, too, as we get further into the show, I definitely, you know, would like to mention about, you know, the great work that you're doing right there, you know, to help the homeless there and to prevent them from having all their personal possessions and miniature shelters or semi-encampments being torn down, and plus that there, too, and they want to tear down here in one of the worst times of the year, winter at that, and particularly up there in the Mile High City.
Exactly.
You guys can get, man, up about, you know, 15 to 16 inches of snow, man, like in about an 8-hour period or less. You know,
yes,
because
sir.
I witnessed all four seasons in one day in Denver,
just
Colorado.
One day.
It's pretty mean. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And then also, too, you know, we saw your presentation earlier today from Denver, and we went ahead there and shared it for you. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give a shout-out there to all the RBGs up there in the Pacific Northwest. Also, too, shout-out there to Liberation Minded Media, New Black Knowledge, Black Eye Stand. Also, too, to Mr. J. Dizzle. Also, too, Resurrection of the Mental Dead. And also, too, to New Era Detroit and New Era Chicago, the great work of what they've been doing back east in Chicago, trying to find out what's happening with our missing people who are coming up out there dead, in addition to the New Era Detroit, of the great work that they've been doing trying to counteract the problem that's been happening there with the drinking water and the great efforts that they're doing. And also, too, I want to give a shout-out there to all the RBGs up here in the Pacific Northwest as well, too, in the Seattle-Tacoma area, Portland, Oregon as well. And they're welcome to give us a call as well, too. So, therefore, looking at the hypocrisy, you know, of the politics, Jerry, I just want to comment on this here starting off. The governor of Virginia, and of course we all know of Virginia's past, also 1619, I believe, is where slavery started here in the United States of America,
Jamestown.
At Jamestown. Yeah, yes, sir. Okay. All right. So, therefore, too, we do know of Virginia's brutalization, you know, toward our people. We also do know the barbarianism that it did practice on our people, not only in Virginia, but throughout the whole South. Quite naturally, of course, the cognitive dissonance is like, well, what the minister have taught us over 50 years ago about boss, we sick. I'm seeing a lot of elements in this here as well, too. Also, too, Mr. Paris, I believe, as you stated in your narratives as well, is that they're more concerned about these alternative lifestyles as opposed to the lives of young black males, and as you know, you and I have agreed on in the past, is that taking our young men and all of our youth, for that matter, out of these public indoctrination centers and start homeschooling our youth, so therefore we can start planting the seeds for them to become innovators instead of consumers, you see? And so we got to definitely get something going on out there as well, too. And now as far as these black political candidates are concerned, it's very interesting that I don't see none of them introducing bills for reparations, you know, just like when we had the black president, where I don't see none of them introducing any type of federal legislation to condemn. Yes, sir.
But, Mr. Bobby, you have the Latinx ones introducing these bills, like Alexandria Cortez,
sir.
But she's talking about reparations for Latinos, and it's like, no.
Okay.
We, descendants of African slaves that built this country, we are the only ones that deserve reparations. We built this country.
Yes,
we're the only ones that have not been paid our dues for all the, our blood, sweat, and tears in building this country up to even make it where immigrants can even come to this country. And they come over here and they want to side with the white supremacists and regurgitate their rhetoric, and majority of them voted for Trump anyway. But they want to get some kind of black and brown camaraderie.
Yes, sir. And I can tell you, man, from what I've seen, now I can recall, Jerry, because like I said, I came up pretty much in the Los Angeles, California area. And I do know the band that during the late 1960s, you know, when the Panthers were doing that thing, when they had came to prominence and about all power to the people, you did have some type of camaraderie between, you know, the African and Latino
community.
The
Brown Berets, kind of moment,
absolutely. Yes, sir.
But
yes,
all
sir.
That went out the window.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All that went out the window with COINTELPRO and the rest of the governmental organizations that dismantled our organizations. But at the same time, they were sitting on the sidelines during the Civil Rights Movement until they found that they could get some benefit from it. Because prior to 1970, they weren't considered minorities. Now we have all these groups, including white women and homosexuals, that consider themselves minorities. So every time they say they're doing something for minorities, what they're really saying is they're doing something for everybody but black people.
Yes, sir, absolutely. But the black males in particular. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? And the black males in particular, is because, see, this is what I'm looking at. Is because, like I said, brother, I got fewer tomorrows than yesterdays. So to quote the Queen Mother, Sada Shakur, who did our intro, you know, Revolution is Love, you know, for our presentation this evening, as she has stated in her lectures that I have to agree with, I cannot go before my ancestors not knowing I did not do my job properly to pass it on down to the youth. It's because here is the black experience. When I sit up here and talk about certain things, you see, I talk about what I live through, what I have experienced. You see, you got to listen to the wind and hear the stories of long ago. And then if you live through this here, you see, you got to pass it on to the generations after you to make sure they're making a proper decision.
Yeah,
this is what. Brother Isaiah, you know, you hip to that yourself, man. It's because, there was a few episodes a while back, man, we had a brother up there with cognitive dissonance, man, and you pretty much got him straight.
I told that dude off because, like, he didn't know what he was talking about.
You did pretty much tell him to raise up out the neighborhood, man, and shake the spot. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so, but I'm just going to get back on this here for a second and keeping it here on point. Now, the cognitive dissonance and the post-traumatic slave syndrome, you know, is real. Now, first place, you got all these black-ass politicians out here talking about they're running for president, right? They're sitting up there referring to themselves as Americans, right? Then when those of us, you know, with the Pan-African mindset, those of us with the do-for-self mindset, because, you see, when you're Pan-Africans, you want your own everything. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
On a political spectrum, on a commercial spectrum, on an educational spectrum. And then from what I've witnessed in the last 50 years, had we had stayed on the Pan-Africanist concept and not been misdirected by civil rights and integration, because even Dr. King said, you know, shortly before his passing,
I'm integrating my people into a burning
house. With integration. And 50 years later, let's looking at it. Now, I've said up on post many a times, and I will prove it, and I will debate with anybody, is that from what I've seen, okay, is that we as a people have regressed 100 years in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
See, something is very, very wrong here. You see, because even in this warped part of the galaxy, 2 + 2 still must equal 4, not 5.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then as
mm-hmm.
you and I, and as we all agree on there, is that they got these, you know, alternative agendas here. And this is why I appreciate Irritated Jenny on what he does. Of what he is exposing it is this homo pedophile agenda.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yep, that's
yeah,
what
exactly.
It is.
But they
and
keep saying that they, but,
they,
but on my
they
end, I keep hearing, what agenda? There's no agenda. What agenda?
Yeah,
and then I put it in their faces, and then they have nothing to say.
Yeah, exactly. It's because, see, there's no argument with undisputed truth. Okay, now, the sad part of it is that during the black empowerment era, when Ali was in his heyday, when the Panther Party was in his heyday, doing something positive in the black community,
mm-hmm.
of having it become
mm-hmm.
self-sufficient and having black men be men instead of effeminizing self-destructive.
Right.
You see what I mean? But you got to thank that old raggedy-ass, nasty-ass institution where I grew up and called Los Angeles, California, and getting ready to go up there with this propaganda machine with its Academy Awards. But however, we're going to do a show on that there as well, too. And I doubt it seriously if I would be in Los Angeles, but I should be back in California at that time. And I will be returning to the Pacific Northwest in about when it gets warm up here. It's just too cold right now, you know. But anyway, moving right along. So we've got to examine
they're more
that
concerned about
race.
Gender-neutral pronouns than they are about finding housing for those that's been displaced due to gentrification, and those that's been put out of the job market due to this illegal immigration.
Yes, sir. Now, also, too, with the illegal immigration, they're talking about the children that has been separated from their parents. Now, here's the irony of the situation. As we all know, when it came to our people during the transatlantic slave holocaust, a whole lot of our babies were separated from their parents and never could
nobody
see them
batted
again.
An eye. Nobody shed a tear from the dominant society.
Then,
but, they want us to drop everything and put on a
people.
Cake for them.
Absolutely. And then when we mention that, then all of a sudden we are considered black racist. Once again, a sign of cognitive dissonance. And this is why the hashtag resurrection of the mental dead has been created, because, see, the chain is on our brain. You see what I mean? You got to free the mind and the body to free the spirit. The spirit, you know, you got to have freedom of mind, body, and spirit to make proper progress. But, however, through the public indoctrination centers, due to the negative imagery of Hollywood of us over the decades and over the last century, because I think Hollywood itself is over 100 years old, if I got my historical notes right on it, you know, it's because your first major producers there was the Universal Studios, the Warner Brothers, Paramount, and MGM.
Disney.
Yes, okay, but keeping it moving, though. So, therefore, in this day and age, what has happened is that after the black empowerment era, then you had the disco era that came in, and then you had the rap era came in, and then you had the massive amounts of drugs coming in to pacify the black community again.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Just like you had with the pills with the 60s, just like what you had with the opioids during Billie Holiday's and Detroit Reds time and what have you. So, therefore, also one of our scholars and one of our activists sit up here and try to point us in the right direction. But then here comes the power structure right there, you know, through the sellouts, you know, through the infiltration, through the manipulation, through the restrictions that they place on us, you know, through segregation and racism and downright human violations, you know, to prevent us, you know, from progressing as a people, because we too have a right to exist, and we have a right to prosper, and we too have a right to live. But instead of these black politicians focusing so much on dealing with these Democrats and Republicans, they need to be taking the power that they got. And then also too, Jesse, I would like for you to you know, educate us a little bit, you know, about the more of the political power of how it's more at the local level as opposed to the federal level. You know, and I mean, speaking of the Congressional Black Caucus right now, is because they're so busy worried about
the Congressional
this,
Black
thing
Caucus.
About what always, you know. Yes, sir.
The Congressional Black Caucus, they ain't done nothing to
yes, sir. Exactly.
Improve
you
the
I mean?
Conditions
you know,
for blacks in this country. They too busy chasing immigration.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's precisely my point. You see what I mean? So, therefore, what they are busy doing is feeding somebody else's agenda. And then when these other groups, you know, identify themselves as a group, they don't have a problem. But when black people identify themselves as a group, then all of a sudden here you got the problem, particularly when you look at mainstream media. Negro call himself, I'm an American. I'm not no African, this, that, there, the other. You know, you see, once again, the cognitive dissonance.
Yep.
But you will place more value on the Eurocentric mindset and value system. And then the Stockholm syndrome. Just like I was looking at this thing, man. What was that woman who was kidnapped there up in Berkeley in the mid '70s? Patricia Hearst, right? And talking about how she was brainwashed, and they brought her back and all that, and they let her walk. And this woman went out here and committed all these bank robberies and things of this nature right here. And from what I understand is that in one of her jobs that she had pulled, you know, there was a fatality. Yes, see? And she got off on that because I remember back in the day when President Jimmy Carter signed a full pardon for her.
Yeah, you see,
so you got this hypocrisy and this redundancy of it. Such as you got the governor of Virginia there who was appearing in blackface and whatnot, you know, in his college days, you know, I believe when he was in medical school. Then you also, too, then there was some situation going on there with the Attorney General of Virginia. And then also, too, the Lieutenant Governor, you know, who has been accused of these sexual assault crimes while he was in college. And, you know, and there was a second victim and whatnot. And it's just amazing how they go on and call for impeachment, you know, on him so fast at the state level right there, but they're dragging their feet up there at the federal level. So go ahead, Jesse, go ahead there and educate us on what you're doing there in the city of Denver, man, and, you know, and say what you got going on.
Okay, so here in the Mile High Income City, it's become not just the Mile High City, but the Mile High Income City. We have probably one of the biggest elections in the history of the city. We have over 60 candidates that are running for local office, city council, mayor, clerk and recorder. So politics is local. So oftentimes we get caught up with the federal, but our main focus needs to be at the local level. That's where it affects us day to day right now, this very second.
Okay.
So,
right.
Our focus is putting it on the local because politics is local as well. It's not just federal and state. So at the local level, there's stuff that we can do. So at the local level, we can repeal such ordinance like we have here in Denver, like the urban camping ban, which is an inhumane ban that only benefits those that have pay dues into the city coffers. So there's coffers in every city. There's coffers that these candidates or people that are currently in office, they have these coffers, they have money in these coffers, and that out of the general fund, they have money that goes into these coffers, and out of these coffers is how they pay for stuff. Well,
mm-hmm.
here in Denver, Colorado, which I'm sure it's the same thing in California and Maryland,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore, it's a buddy system. So it's this cronyism. It's this, oh, well, I know you, you know me, so I'm going to get you this job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put you in this position. I'm going to do this and that.
Right, right,
right.
It's this favoritism. And
mm-hmm. it is.
We're exposing the corruption that is in the current city government. We have people that work in the city right now that are applying
mm-hmm.
for affordable housing. Now, we have a housing crisis
right.
here in Denver. We have 23,000
right.
DPS students homeless. But yet,
mm-hmm.
this guy by the name of Zachary, he works for the policy. He's a policy analyst. So he's in charge
mm-hmm.
of for the city and
mm-hmm.
analyzing
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
right.
sitting up here applying for affordable housing, gets it, and then turns around and flips the property for the
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So our whole purpose in this campaign is letting the voters know, letting our constituents
mm-hmm.
know, look, there's candidates that's running for office that are going to put people over profit. So my slogan
mm-hmm.
is just
right.
poor
right.
people
right.
over profit. So now there's a lot of candidates now bandwagoning behind that because they see like, oh, well, there's a lot of people concerned about this. And a lot of our constituents can't even afford to live in a city anymore. So they're all rallying
mm-hmm.
behind this. But we've been doing this
right.
for at least for the past
mm-hmm.
5-6 years because we've had this urban camping ban in effect for 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And they put these coon sambos into these positions
right.
that
right.
have no connection to the community at all. Like currently in my
right.
district, which is District 9, we have a coon by the name of Alvis Brooks. He's been getting
right.
nothing but developer.
Okay.
He's been getting nothing but developer money. And he,
mm-hmm.
the whole time he's been in office, our whole neighborhoods are predominantly black neighborhoods here, black and brown
right.
neighborhoods, but predominantly black, have been gentrified.
Right.
We've been pushed out. We've been bought out. We've been pushed away.
No. Okay, is that off an area that, if I recall, when I was there, called the Five Points area there, Jeff?
Yes, Five Points. Yes, exactly. Five
Points
is one of – so in Denver, there are 78 neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say at least
okay.
50 of them have been gentrified.
Damn. Yeah, it's because I'm seeing the same thing going all up and down here on the West Coast, particularly there in Los Angeles.
Same thing going along my
definitely
way,
definitely in San Francisco.
Gentrification is just a nice way of saying ethnic cleansing. Because that's exactly
right.
what's going
yeah,
on. Because
that's exactly what it is.
That's what it is, too, brother. Because.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is ethnic cleansing. And then also, too, Minister Malcolm gave a speech in Los Angeles in 1962 dealing with that, about how in the black community is the most heavily policed community, and then it also
yeah.
has the highest crime. So how is it going to have the
well,
highest crime?
Well, we know
crime?
Why that is.
Well, yes, sir, because
well,
the
we
cops
know why
must
that
be
is,
in cahoots
brother,
with
brother.
The criminals.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but we know,
okay.
yeah, but we know exactly why that is, why our communities are more policed than any other community. Because prior to 1964, the Civil Rights Act getting passed, there was no
yes.
need to have a heavy police presence in the black community. The average white
mm-hmm.
American could tell your black self what to do, and you just have to go
right.
through with it. But since
yeah, exactly.
when the Civil Rights Act passed, then there was a need for that because your average white citizen couldn't say, hey, I don't want you in here. I don't want you doing this because we had the illusion that we were giving equal rights to them with the 14th
exactly.
Amendment.
And,
see, the 14th
yes,
Amendment
sir.
Was
and,
solely for us. That was solely for us.
Mm-hmm.
That was not for LGBTQ. That was not for Latinx.
Right.
That was not for all these other
right.
groups. That was meant solely for
yes.
us.
Right. But however, though, Jesse, we still have to look at an overall premise, too, which brought about your modern-day police departments. And then, you know, there are those who refuse to face this fact.
Oh, that goes back to slavery. You know that.
Yes, sir. What it is look at your Dred Scott decision.
Yes,
sir. Look at your Dred Scott decision and the opinion of the chief of the Supreme Court at that time, the Chief Justice, Roger C. Taney, where those of African descent were intended or could never be granted. They were never intended, nor could they ever, you know, get protections of the U.S. Constitution. So you can go up there, man, and put a million and one amendments in there, man, but it still don't legally apply to us
that
ruling if you check it out. Yes, sir, absolutely.
Well,
and then, too,
but,
yes, sir.
A lot of these people will tell you, though, that the 14th Amendment trumped the Dred Scott decision.
Okay. All right. Now, here's what you have to look at, what he said in the ruling. Never intended. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then
when
did we as a people on a collective basis go petition the United States Congress to be citizens of the United States?
Mm.
You follow me? When did we, you know, through the petition process or initiative process or what have you, petition any state, any county, any city, or the United States Congress, although you did have black congressmen and what have you at that time in the era, I believe they called Reconstruction. And, you know, we're currently in the research stage on that because we're going to talk about some issues on that, you see. But we was always to be subhuman, second class. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We were never supposed to feel good, you know, about our African heritage, and the institution of Hollywood and social media now emphasize that, has emphasized that, and continues to emphasize that. You see? This is, as you had pointed out, you know, when they passed the civil rights laws, it was supposed to protect black people. But here comes, you know, the Alphabet crew, just like the state of California, they have mandated, you know, through their educational code that this curriculum must be taught to children in their formative years. You see what I mean?
They did the same thing here.
That's cool. Yes, sir. You see,
I don't
you
think
know,
it's cool
yes, sir. And then, of course, too, then you're going to sit up there and confuse young men in their developmental years of two men dressed up in women's attire talking about their women. And neither one of these individuals. Now, get this. Okay, now, just as we said, you know, insanity is sanity now, right? Now, how are you going to sit up there and tell me two men dressed as women or those who go get mutilated, like your boy Bruce down there in Southern California, you see, identify as women? Now, when was the last time that they ovulate? When was the last time that they menstruate? And how many children did they bear?
The answer is none and zero.
Exactly. Yes, sir. That is precisely my point. You see,
but
so
like you said,
so
they're pissing on us, telling us it's rain.
Yes, sir.
And they're shitting on us, telling us it's snow.
Absolutely.
And
I've
argued back and forth with people here about that because they keep swearing up and down that these people are women, and I'm like, no. And then they just had a women's march out here, and they crossed out the
sir.
E. And put an X.
What?
Yes.
Now that got me right there. Yeah, now that there got me on that one right there. And then I do recall a few years back that over in the city of San Francisco in January is that there was a demonstration that the women had put on, you know, to raise awareness and to fundraise for breast cancer research. So the ladies, you know, were kind enough to go out there topless, you know, and bear the goodies, you know what I mean? And it was cold, and it gets very, very cold off the coast of California in January, you know, and then they got a bunch of flack on that, saying these women are out here are exposing themselves. But at the same token, the city of San Francisco will let a grown-ass man walk down the street showing a crack of his ass.
Yeah. This is sick.
You say, you know, yeah. You say, you know, this is what's is getting me with this double standardization, this double speak, this hypocrisy, you
and,
know.
And if you speak out
again,
against it, if you speak out against
then
you get labeled a homophobe, you get labeled transphobic,
yeah, right.
You get labeled all this bullshit.
All that. And then, of course, then they're hitting you with hate speech when you're sitting up here trying to insult my fucking intelligence.
Exactly.
That's funny. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You know, you're up here insulting my intelligence, and then when I sit up here and object to it, is because I'm not believing that this shit that you're putting on me is snow, or this urine that you're putting on me is rain, but you're going to tell me that I'm a hater and something is wrong with me. Now, getting back here to this 2020 election, as I stated that Kamala Harris was the district attorney of San Francisco County before she had became the attorney general of California. So, therefore, I would like to ask Ms. Harris, or what is her position on that consumer rights protection issue that happened in California that was circulated in 2016, you know, when she was the attorney general before she was elected to U.S. Senator, and also, too, why didn't she use any influence or what have you to have these police officers in San Francisco prosecuted when they murdered Mario Woods, who they had shot 25 times, and Mr. Woods was only, I believe, 19 years old, and only stood 5'7" and weighed no more than 150 pounds. And the police officers went to a half circle to make sure they didn't get each other caught up in a crossfire to shoot Mr. Woods, and I'm just wondering if that there was intent to kill. But, however, you know, Mrs. Harris didn't address that issue. Okay, and then those who are in the Eastern Seaboard, and if you got any info on Cory Booker, I do understand that he's the senator from New Jersey. He is the former mayor of
Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, he's out of Newark, New
Jersey.
Ask
the people in Newark what they think about him.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So those of you there on the East Coast over there, I believe that's one of your neighbors there, Brother Isaiah. You know, they're welcome to give us a call. You know, as well, too. All right.
Right.
So, therefore, so what we have to do now is look at how this is going to go, but also, too, but we need to focus mainly on cooperative economics amongst our own, is because everybody else is benefiting up out of our communities, you know, all across the nation, in the diaspora, you know, off of the continent. So therefore, we got to start implementing and start doing some things, you know, to benefit, you know.
And start creating our own. Right, start creating our own,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because I did put a post about, you know, about that panda and the Gucci sweater doing a blackface and all kinds of shit. And I'm like, come on now, we got to get it together. We got to step up our game because and they know. Care nothing about us, like you said. They look at us as some subhuman anyway. So I still want to know why. I still want to know why do most our lost people still want to bring money to them? Like that is crazy. Like, come on now.
No. It's a commodity. No, it's a commodity, Isaiah. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a commodity. Same damn thing with this social media shit. You see?
Right.
You know, ever since we were brought here, we were a commodity. 400 years ago, when they started selling us there in Jamestown, Virginia, a commodity, a market, a place where buyer and seller meets and exchange revenue for a product or service.
Right.
You see what I mean?
That's how Wall Street came about.
Sir, absolutely. You see? And then quite naturally, of course, when we try to do for sale and do our cooperative economics, then the oppressor wants to come up there and commit these human rights violations against us. But then we're supposed to sit here and be
and
so
just
forgiving.
Sit back and do nothing right. Just say, cool out my lord and all that BS. Like, no more of that, no.
Yeah, you see, and this is what I'm concerned about in regard to these black politicians is because, I mean, it's even to the point, Jesse, where we can't even get up here and say black people. Now they're up there identifying themselves as people of color and what have you. And then when you look at the imagery.
They like there's some kind of camaraderie.
Then,
like we're all in this together.
Right. Which is not the case. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because had it not been for us, you know, being sold off there starting in Virginia in 1619, the United States wouldn't have been what it is then, manufacturally,
right.
agriculturally, or commercially. You see?
And it's still going
even a damn banking industry. Even a damn banking industry and insurance industry had benefited off the transatlantic slave trade.
Yeah.
You see, actually it contributed to the gross national product of quite a few nations.
The late great Dr. Hendrick Clark said, John Hendrick Clark said, we have no friends. All of us have benefited from our enslavement.
No friends.
Every last one of them.
Right, we don't have no friends. Yeah, I don't know. That is too much for me, man. most of our people just want to be so accepted by them.
Yeah,
just don't understand it. Like, why you don't want to be? I don't want to be accepted by them. I want to get RESPECT.
To become
respect.
Self-sufficient.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's to become self-sufficient is what we have to do. See, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have to do. And we have to do it on a global basis as well, too. It's because information that I'm coming across here on the net, definitely, of course, do research. You see what I'm saying? You got to research it. It's because all we got is each other. We got to build ourselves commercially, and then we got to start benefiting off of our own natural resources. It's because we all know where the silicon is coming from and what have you, the uranium, the tungsten, the chrome, the gold,
the
diamonds. Yeah, all that. You see, if it wasn't for the continent, man, the world's economy would not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. You see what I'm saying? All the way from silicon to coffee. See? And this is what we have to focus on and what we have to start gaining control of, you see? And then, of course, you got a lot of these black scholars, you know, that shy away from that. You got a lot of these black scholars that I see out here in the mainstream figuring that only way for us to prosper as a people to be an exact duplicate of our oppressor. See? God has showed us the exact opposite.
Yep,
and how God proved it is that he organized 8 million people over 100 years ago. He didn't have the internet. Hell, they barely had
sure
the telephone.
Didn't. Yep.
They
were still using the telegraph.
Exactly. And then they didn't even have movie cameras perfected at that time.
Mm-mm.
8 million
followers.
And then when these Trump supporters tell us that we need to go back to Africa and all this old good stuff, but the cold part about it is, if you guys look at your history against us, there was somebody advocating just that, but you gave them 5 years in a federal penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
And then not to mention the fact that there were those, you know, like I say, all skin folk and can folk is because those black folks that operated. Yes, sir. And then you know, that's another thing that we got to focus on what we do to each other. You see?
Yep.
But we know
that internalized self-hatred.
Yes, sir. Because see, what happens is men, yes, sir. And the hatred that you're having for the oppressor, you're internalizing against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really sad is that when your offspring is taken and has no sense of themselves. Say, you know, the Panthers had mentioned that there, you know, in one of the points in that 10-point program, that we must have education and knowledge of ourselves to learn about this decadent American society against us.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Now, here this man, Justin Fairfax, is the lieutenant governor of Virginia, and Virginia's tainted past. Here you got a governor that's under questionable circumstances. Same thing with the attorney general, but now you're going after this man here calling for his impeachment if he don't resign in 2 days because of what he's been accused of. And then look what the hell you got going up there at the federal level right there, and everybody's up there playing pity-pat.
Yep.
See? And then, you know, these Black politicians are not coming to us and saying, hey, you know what, people, guess what? Yeah, you're right. This shit didn't work for the last 50 years.
You know, no, they're continuing the malign neglect policies.
Yes,
they'll
sir.
Talk about
okay.
us in ambiguous, broad, ambiguous terms. They'll use terms
okay.
such as minorities. They'll use terms
mm-hmm.
such as people of color. They'll use terms
right.
such as diversity, multiculturalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
but all them
labels for black people or the black men,
right.
Urban,
exactly.
And,
not at all.
Yeah. There you go, urban. Yeah, and there you go, Jesse. Now it's urban because
that's
first
right.
it used
mm-hmm.
to be inner city. You see, anytime
yeah.
you said inner city, like Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues, anytime you said inner
mm-hmm.
city, then you were talking about
make
you want to
holler.
What became the hood. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You see, and
yeah,
that
of course,
there
we,
was
we
at
became
the time,
hood. We became urban,
yeah.
you know, all them. Yeah, all
oh,
that
right.
shit.
Well, see, that mm-hmm. there is at the time, you know, of the late 60s, early 70s. This is because, like I said,
mm-hmm.
you had the Civil Rights era
mm-hmm.
from the late 50s
mm-hmm.
and what have you. 1966, I believe, is where you start having a black empowerment era and
yep.
Black liberation
yep.
movements and what have you. Now, keep in mind, in the 50s and in the 60s, you had a lot of nations on a continent that were getting, you know, their independence.
In
there,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, from, you know,
Ghana.
From the European colonizers. Yeah, Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, let me see, Kenya was another
McKinney
one. Burkina
Faso.
Yeah,
yep.
you know,
mm-hmm.
let's see, Dahomey, let's see.
Yep,
let's
Dahomey,
see,
Dahomey,
Benin,
yep.
Dahomey, yeah,
yep.
yeah, Sierra Leone.
Togo.
Let's see, the Cameroon.
Mm-hmm. Ivory Coast.
Let's see.
Ivory Coast.
You right.
Yep.
Right. And then over there, let's see, Tanzania.
Senegal.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah,
Tanzania.
Exactly.
There you
mm-hmm.
go.
Let's see. So, and I do recall as a child, during the Black Empowerment era, is that there was a lot of emphasis that was being placed on us here in the Western Hemisphere of reattaching to the culture on the continent.
Yeah.
And this is when you had such
oh,
music
yeah.
artists who were real popular here, like Hugh Masekela and his wife, Mary
mm-hmm.
Kiba, and what have you. You see?
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
then off in the early 70s, you know, you started having this, what they would call the integrationists and love everybody and all of that is because you had
yeah we are the world
civil rights movement.
Yeah, we are
yeah,
the world
right. and then
yes,
and
we
and
are
then in the late 60s
we are humans
you,
we are one race
oh, yeah.
you know all that
yeah and all this old type of shit but at the same token oh but and then the women's lib movement and then there's a lot
oh, yeah,
you know that's being said on
oh,
that
yeah,
that would divide
mm-hmm.
the black family unit
yes
yeah. and
yeah.
And then too as you started having implementation, you know, doing the disco era and what
have you. Shahada Ali goes super in on that. Cause they,
oh, yeah.
Just,
and then I remember
Ali
yeah, yeah.
and Dr.
Oh, yeah.
Francis Cress
yeah.
Welfner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You see, and I remember now, see, now at that time right there, glad you brought him up, Jesse, because Ali was in his heyday. That I remember, and he always said a positive black male image, and he would speak out publicly mainly against these black exploitation
yeah.
films like Shaft, Superfly, Coffee,
mm-hmm.
the Mac, you know, all that stupid ass shit.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
And
yep.
this is why I tell the city of Los Angeles, to the mayor, also to the president of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences, you know, this is why I always tell them to go take a flying leap, you know,
yeah.
every Academy Awards time for, you know, degrading our image. Yes, and
mm-hmm.
then particularly marginalizing and putting up obstacles against those who are trying to do things to upgrade our image. You know, I'm talking about out there
right.
in Hollywood and
yeah,
what
and Hollywood
yeah,
weird.
Because, you know, oh, yeah, 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 totally weird. You see what I mean? Yeah, yeah, totally weird. You see? And then, of course, as you said, Jesse, you know, this agenda that they are pushing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But however, though, is that we need to focus on here on building some businesses and getting some commercial power going on there. And then also, too, we see we joined their but always my host is there, Mr. Macy. Are you there, Mr. Macy?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry I'm late. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm here. So we're talking about, we're talking about the Macy, you know, because we're in our last 5 minutes, Black History and the Hypocrisy of the Current Politics in the U.S., and we have Jesse Harris, who's running for office in Denver, Colorado, and, you know, we were talking about that. Then we're talking about the negative imagery and the cognitive dissonance and the post-traumatic slave syndrome of these brain-dead federal Black politicians. Who I'm looking at, who look utterly pathetic to me, particularly, you know, as they were questioning this McAllister or this dude, the acting attorney general, you know, one of Trump's cronies.
You
know what I mean? You know, and what have you. See, and then also, too, we had mentioned, too, is that they want to impeach the lieutenant governor by Monday. If he doesn't resign, they're drawing up the articles of impeachment there in the Virginia State Legislature. And I just find it very, very hypocritical of how they're not doing this at the federal level of what you currently that's going on up in there.
But anyway,
ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're going to go off here. We only got about 5 minutes left in the show. So if there's anybody that wants to call in, please give us a call here at 646-564 because we're going to go off into overtime. And if you call in, you know, definitely don't hang up because once we go off in overtime, you will not be able to call back in. So now is the time, you know, to call in, to stay in, you know, as we say. Okay, so now, as I was stating, you know, as I had mentioned about the U.S. Senator, you know, from California that's running for office and also to the U.S. Senator from New Jersey running from there. But I just find it very, very interesting is that none of these Black politicians that are running for president or whatever are addressing the issue, you know, of these state-sanctioned homicides that you had in the last few years. And so, you know, it's kind of like get some feedback on that.
Well, they just continue on what Obama did.
Yeah, go ahead, Queen. I mean,
Go ahead, Demetri.
Do we have any representatives in the local office in this political bullshit they got going on?
Well, this is what Jesse is doing there in the city of Denver.
City Council at large in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Jesse is. Yep.
Right. You see,
and
I've noticed,
and they're mad about it too.
Oh, baby,
as well as they should be.
Sure.
You know, I've been out there in Denver, Colorado. You know what I mean? Where it's 15 degrees below zero, as I said before, and then through the gentrification, process out there is that they're taking away all the property, real estate property, and turning it into commercial property through gentrification, refurbishing a lot of these old structures, calling them lofts. This is what I'm seeing in the Los Angeles area as well.
Exactly,
doing the same thing that they're doing down there by Silicon Valley is because you go to Oakland, California, where Pandora's is nice. Office building, nice and popular. Same thing with ass.com right down there on Broadway near 12th Street. And they even building another building on top of it. Look across Frisco Bay. You see Apple on built them a skyscraper right there. That's the first $1 billion business. You see what I mean? And then you go right across the street on Market Street from Twitter, and you got people up there living in their own piss and shit, and they're up there high on opioids, living on a sidewalk. Then here the city and the power structure comes out here and criminalize these people, you know, for being homeless. But here they right across from all this wealth right here, and you telling me that these trillionaires cannot be forced to go out there and take about, say, $100 million apiece and go up in and get some of these old office buildings up and running or some of the Yes, sir.
The people have been reduced to having to rent upstairs. To live in. Tough sheds. Reduced to renting tough sheds to live in.
Oh my God.
Sheds. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, because I heard that there was doing something like that in Los Angeles one time where they had the dome homes, I believe, or what they called them. And it's just basically a place for you,
have
you
them
know,
down
just
on Skid Row.
Right, exactly. Yes, and so therefore, but what they could do with this gentrification is take the same process and have these people come down and get some mental health services, some physical health services, and whatnot, and then particularly the younger ones, get them trained on some type of skills and trades.
Yeah, some kind of trade. Instead of forcing them to go on to college, graduating with all this debt,
right,
and then you can't even get a job in your field.
Right, but however, though, but what you can do is you go in and learn these. Yeah, exactly. You go in and learn these skills and trades and what have you. But these high tech trades is what should be emphasized as well too, is because see, that's the economy, you know, of the late mid 21st century. You see, everything is going to be, you know, all high tech. You see what I'm saying? Oh, and then as I see over there in Silicon Valley, how every other group, you know, is prospering. Except ours. You see, so this is what we got to get innovative and start doing this here for ourselves and start reaching out to those entrepreneurs that I've seen across social media that are trying to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be placing more emphasis on this and then these sorry brain-dead, black-ass politicians at the federal level who's not talking about empowering our community.
Well, that's where we can start at the local level. We can get people into office at the local level. That's going to make that their main focus, the trade apprenticeship programs. That's what we need. And we need access to these so-called minority business contracts. Because right now, like in Denver, there is only a certain number of contracts that they give out to minority businesses to even start. And then there's all this red tape you have to cut through. There's all these fees and permit fees that you have to pay before you can even start a legitimate business. It's a hurdle. It's not a hurdle to jump through.
Because California had something like that there, what they had called the local enterprise zone. And what it was is that in certain cities in California, and I think this was in the 1990s, and a guy named Pete Wilson was the governor. And all you had to do was set up a business. All you had to do was just set up a business in the enterprise zone, and then some of the cities would grant you, you know, the business license, the permit, and what have you. And then, of course, too, a lot of the trade, depending on what trades and services you're doing, you also got to have your state contractors' licenses as well.
But you
could go ahead, you know, but however, it can be done, Jesse, like you said, at the local level of grassrooting. Yeah, see, now, this is what the party did in 1966. They did a lot of the grass rooting. And through this, they went up there and had chapters in 63 cities across the U.S. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Through the concept of cooperative economics, you see. So, therefore, what has to be done, you know, with the homeschooling of us taking our children up out of the public indoctrination centers at the local level, you know, and the state level, is emphasizing on improvement of self as opposed to loving everybody else and hating your own. You see?
Yep.
I mean, let's look at the hypocrisy that's going on in the state of Virginia, right along with the blatant hypocrisy that you have going on there in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's so redundant, it's stupid.
Yes.
Yeah, really. You see?
They're going to do what they want to do.
Okay, well, however, but this might be, you know, looking at it in another way.
Yeah, they're
going to
do what they're
going to
do at the federal and the state level, but that's where we come in at the local level. We control
what
happens at the local level. Then we can control what happens at the state level, and then we can get to the federal level, but we got to start where we at.
To build
and voting
the
every
momentum.
4 years for a puppet is not going to get it. We literally have to put people in to these positions.
Oh, yes, sir.
Grassroots.
Oh, yes, sir. And then keep in mind, as Bobby Seale had wrote a book called Seize the Tide. Okay,
yes,
and this
sir.
Is what he was in. What he was saying in regard to why the party had made the impact that it did. Now it is to seize the time for us to become self-sufficient is because with the redundancy of with the Trump regime that you're seeing up here in the Pacific Northwest, where you got a lot of his own people who voted for his ass are sorry that they did, particularly a whole lot of those autumn workers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm loving it.
You see what I mean? You see?
I'm loving it too.
And then, Jesse, you know, don't take this the wrong way because I know you're in the politics, but when that dude got up there and said, you got a lot of stupid people in politics, with him being elected, with him doing the bullshit that he's doing, with the circus that he is causing, and then with all these scandalous asshole crooked cronies that he's got, you see what I'm saying, from everybody, and that damn acting attorney general that he had, and then Dumbo who quit, who accused himself of all this bullshit a year before it happened, who saw his handwriting on
Dumbo.
The wall. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, just to clarify, I'm not a politician. I'm serving other people. I'm a public servant.
I'm not a politician.
Absolutely,
and I respect and appreciate that. Big difference between the two. You see, big difference between the two. You see, now let's look down through history right there. Look at Adam Clayton Powell. Okay, are you familiar with him, Jesse? Yeah, Congressman Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Yeah, who served 24 years in U.S. Congress, and they kicked him out the Congress is because, you know, he had emphasized black power.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He had emphasized the Black and Beautiful campaign.
Honestly,
in the late 1960s. Yes, honestly.
The Democrats are just like the Republicans. They're two sides of the same racist, white supremacist coin. At the end of the day, it's about maintaining the system of racist and white supremacy.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, most definitely.
Yes, sir. And then the cold part about it, too,
Democrats,
Jesse,
and the Republicans are the same in one stone.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. And then keep in mind that the sad part about it is...
Yes, sir. I just had a quick example I was gonna give. So I just came from this Democratic function out here in Denver. Every candidate that's running for office was there. I have this lady. I consider her my godmother. She passes for white. So she's going around getting signatures, and they see my picture, and they're like, "Oh, we already have two black congressmen and a mayor. That's all we need." Now there's 13
so
seats on council.
Yeah, okay, now,
these are Democrats.
See,
these are the ones that are. I'm not racist. I don't see color. These are them.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah, see, this is what I meant. Okay, now Jesse. Okay, now this is what I meant by in the podcast that I did a while back, you know, and I believe in our opening season about for those of us that don't see color, you could best believe that color sees our black asses.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
So they count us. They program us in everything we do. Do you understand where
absolutely.
I'm going?
Yes.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
We are nothing but programs to them. They use us and they use us how they want to.
Oh, yes, yeah, without a doubt. Okay, now let me ask you this here, Jesse. Okay, now what black businesses that they trying to build up there in Denver, Colorado?
So there's an African-American commission. They're talking about... They're talking a good game, but they're not doing nothing. Like,
right.
We have a black mayor, and we hardly have any kind of black businesses out here, Shabaka. It's really bad. The Denver auditor, which is responsible for the check and balances of what goes on in the city government, has come out with a report that says that there's a lack of certificates given to so-called minority-owned businesses, specifically minority women and black businesses. Yeah. Now, I already broke down this minority thing, so when they talk about minority, that's everything but us.
Yes,
what do you mean?
Okay.
I thought that was us.
No, that's not us.
A minority were we. We're us.
No. No. That's what they want you to think. But no, minority is basically what it basically means is you're a minor in the terms of the law. So you are maligned and neglected. So we've been maligned and neglected, but all these other groups that claim that they're minorities, they're not being maligned and neglected. Their policies, their issues are being put at the forefront. Ours are being put on the back burner.
Oh, I've always been put on the back burner, Jesse, because like I said, man, is that when I look at, man, what we lived through, right? Okay, now let's look at Bill Cosby. Now, Bill Cosby was the first black male to star in a primetime television series in the year 1965 on a series called I Spy. Then, you know, he became educated. He was a student at Temple University, and I believe he was there on an athletic scholarship. And he was an exceptional athlete.
Right.
So then he made, in the late 1960s, he did the Bill Cosby show. He did a couple of variety shows for NBC. His whole career was with NBC, number one. Okay,
yeah.
So then after that, and then he did another show, 69 to 70, called the Bill Cosby. Fat Albert came about 1977, because that was a Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, that there was a Saturday
was
morning cartoon
Saturday
show,
morning
Fat
session.
Albert.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And then
okay.
He also made his own sitcom. He made the Cosby Show, in a different world.
Yeah, and then he had his sitcom, The Different World, which was a spin off the Cosby Show.
Of the Cosby
Now, the thing is that he was talking about black people getting educated, prospering, and then from what I understand is that the show, A Different World, had was a definite correlation between a lot of blacks enrolling in college at that time. Now, also, too, we have to point out and emphasize the homeschooling and also, too, self-educating ourselves is because there's been a lot of black academies, you know, where black school teachers and educators themselves have taken it upon themselves to set up, you know, their own educational academies, you know, for the black community, and a lot of them have been doing quite well as well, too. So we need to be having our black politicians placing more emphasis on that and, like, saying, well, hey, you white U.S. representatives, you know, need our votes on your issues there because you got this issue going on there with the dump regime and what have you, when all y'all need to do is just send the U.S. Marshals over there and arrest his ass and because he brought it to presidency, so he might not even be the president legitimately. So that be grounds enough just for the U.S. Marshals office, if not the FBI, to go in there and place his ass in handcuffs.
Right.
I got a picture in my mind of him paying off the FBI to leave him alone.
Yeah.
That's a given. You see what I mean?
Yeah, man.
He fires the head of the FBI. Who does that?
White people.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
So, you know, so once again, is that we're looking at the hypocrisy right here. But then the so-called black leadership, you know, the blind leading the blind.
The black misleadership is more like it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's precisely what I'm saying, you know. And particularly when I look at Mrs. Harris' record there in Northern California, you see. And like I said, Cory Booker, I'm going to check him out, you know. And then also, too, what happened down there with Florida and about how they were disqualifying a lot of the black folks, I believe, where their sister, Stacey Abrams, was running for governor of Georgia. And then also,
Georgia,
too, what happened down there with Mr. Gilliam
down
in the state of Florida.
And they was all on that LGBTQ stuff, too.
Yeah, okay, but that's just it, though, Mr. Jesse. That proves your point even further. Is that they got there so busy up here worried about everybody else and up here and ignoring ourselves, just like what the minister taught us over 50 years ago, boss, we shit.
But that's that manutorious manumission.
Mm. Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. And this is why is that something has got to be done to get our children, particularly our black males, about these mandated school curriculums about that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you forcing that on our young children in their formative years. Now, if you're going to talk about that material at, say, at the university level, well, I can see that. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but why are you doing this at the preschool level? Why are you doing this at the kindergarten level?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm questioning. You see what I mean? And this is why I appreciate, you know, the parents. Yeah, and this is why I appreciate the parents who are coming in out here questioning this bullshit. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in my opinion, this shit is very bizarre.
It is.
Yeah. It really is. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Well,
but,
Dr. Newman
like
told us this was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
all those
listening,
I suggest y'all check out Dr. Neil